Jeopardy on 2FM. Text 51552.
All right, it's 8 minutes to 10 now. Lisa O'Hara is a relationships counsellor. She actually also happens to be the author of what is essentially a manual to relationship problems. When a Relationship Ends is her book, Surviving the Emotional Roller Coaster of Separation. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's nice to see you again. It's been a while.
Thank you.
But here we are. This is obviously a tricky area for so many people listening this morning who are either separated, divorced, or worse, yeah, on the cusp of it, which is nearly worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
why are you writing this book now, and why are you talking about this now?
Yeah, I suppose it's just one of those things. In Ireland, we're a nation who do grief following death very well.
Mm.
And we've language for it. We've rituals, the whole gamut. So I suppose really what has become very apparent is people really just don't know how to handle separation.
Mm.
And the person themselves who's going through it often struggles with how I'm going to tell people, you know, and they're struggling with a sense of personal failure. I failed somehow. The relationship has failed. They haven't,
yeah,
failed.
Yeah, it is, as you say in the book, it is like a death, though,
it
in
is,
itself,
yeah,
because there is,
yeah,
that sense of mourning, of blackness, of,
yeah,
of darkness, or whatever you want to call,
yeah,
it.
Yes, and it's I've heard people describe it as the living death, and it, I suppose, because the other person, your ex, is still around, it can be a more complex loss from which to recover.
Yeah.
So do you know what it's kind of, there's layers to it, that death is very final, and there's a grieving ritual and all that. You've the month's mind, you've all that.
Mm.
But it's very hard to pinpoint the moment of separation. Is that when you decide somebody, you're told, or you tell?
Yes.
Is it when you leave? Is it when you sign a document saying that you're separated? When is it?
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll thrash this all out between now, and we'll stick with it till after 10, because I know it's something that affects a lot of people listening this morning. Let's talk about the different types of relationships that you describe, from validating, yeah, volatile, and avoidant relationships. The validating relationship is what? Because a lot of people listening will say, "Yeah, that's me."
Yeah, it's a relationship where you kind of, the words you'd hear with something like us, we. It's almost like they exist as one, you know, and they'd really be, I suppose really they're keeping the peace is very important. But what can happen is if the couple can't learn to, conflict is a very natural part of being in a relationship, because no two people are the same and their differences are what cause tension. So in Relationships Ireland, we'd often see couples coming in and say, we can't agree about this. Could be around parenting, could be, you know, they can't communicate effectively. They're not understanding each other's gender. And they see it as a sort of an irritation or a deliberate act to control, punish, or avoid, if you like. So, but what I think the bit is really about encouraging the couple to sort of deal with their differences rather than avoid them, if you like. Because what happens is passion goes out the window.
Well,
there's a lot of reasons,
yeah,
for passion to go out the window, but,
yeah,
if you don't resolve your conflict, you know, you can you'll shove it down, or you'll try to avoid it or ignore it in some way, and that's not healthy.
Okay, this is the we relationship where they will speak of each other as we aren't, and we aren't,
yeah,
and which sounds quite stifling, and would suggest that there isn't much room for life beyond the other person, and, you know, I don't,
yeah,
mean to,
or individuation, you're,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
being,
yeah,
an individual, you know,
yeah,
maybe perhaps separate interests, and,
yeah,
I mean, that's what separate interests and doing things separately sometimes what makes the other person remain interested.
Yeah, or let him go for a pint with the lads. Absolutely. Or whatever, rather than arriving along or go, you know, and saying, where are we going tonight? We,
yeah,
are going nowhere.
Yeah.
Volatile is it sounds like the Richard Burton,
yeah,
what's her name? Liz Taylor, sort,
yeah,
of.
Usually very passionate relationship, lots of sex. This kind of couple rarely split up. That's the
Isn't
ironic
that funny?
Thing. Yeah. But there's a lot of passion and there's a lot of very intense emotion. And they're hugely caught up in the rejecting bit, but underneath it all, they're just yearning for that closeness, you know. So
it's like the Clintons, that
yeah,
mad marriage, which is, unfortunately, there is lots of sex, but not with his wife sometimes. Mm. And you wonder, and yet they I've seen them in action, like in the flesh. And when I say that, I mean, I've seen them together.
Yeah.
And you can almost, you can almost touch the passion. It's really there. It's phenomenal to behold. They do love each other.
Yeah, it's very powerful, and you're not even in that relationship.
No, I'm certainly
not. So, you know, even in the counselling room, you know, at work, I would, you know, when you're noticing that with a couple, my God, it's incredibly powerful. But it's about harnessing it in a way that works for them better.
Can you feel chemistry in a room when you see a couple together?
You can, yeah, and you can see it sometimes when they just you can feel the chemistry when it's rejecting. They won't even look at each other.
You can feel the anti-chemistry.
Well, no, there's a chemistry in that because they're giving out very strong messages. But actually, the really good thing about counselling is that it's, you know, a counsellor can observe it and can say it to them and feed it back to them in a way that's more useful to the couple.
The avoidant relationship then
Yes, avoiding any kind. They live parallel lives, but they're still a couple, do you know? And they don't really fight. They don't really, again, it's a relationship that lacks passion.
Okay, and then the relationships begins to break down. Yeah. And you talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which are what?
Yeah, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, just very quickly, is a concept that was devised by John Gottman, whom Relationships Ireland are bringing to Ireland next year. And we're very lucky to have him. But basically, he says these four behaviours, which are in every relationship, criticism, contempt, defensiveness and stonewalling. And stonewalling is like a disappearing act you do. It's like a withdrawal. Yeah. Men tend to do it more than
the ostrich.
A bit like that, but women tend to criticise more, and they when he says when you see those four behaviours and they become the predominant behaviours in a relationship for the way the couple are with each other, then that in fact can spell doom for the relationship. So again, if we're in counselling, you know, we'd be encouraging them not to do that.
Yeah. So stonewalling, criticism, contempt, and defensiveness.
That's defensive. Yeah. So you're kind of laying the blame at the other person's door.
Okay. We're only scratching at the surface here. There's so much more to talk about.
Yes.
We will do so after the news. I'm with Lisa O'Hara here live in studio, 1850 715 922, with questions. And if you want to make a comment or be a bit more anonymous, you can email tubs@rte.ie. I'm here with Lisa O'Hara and we're talking relationships. Lisa, the stages of relationship breakdown, would you talk us through that?
Well, I mean, there's you've got to sort of see it from two sides, the person who wants to leave and the person who's being left. The person who wants to leave often does the bulk of their pain, or the pain is more intense before they make the decision, and it's a relief. The person who is being left often feels that afterwards. So sometimes they're just very shocked. So there's a kind of a natural kind of a numbness that'll settle in, and that's the defence against pain. And they may be left with huge feelings of rejection and abandonment by their partner, whereas the person who's leaving very often is burdened with this very a deep sense of guilt. How could I have done this? And I suppose not to underestimate people, you know, they don't realise the process that somebody goes through when they want to, you know, leave a relationship. It's agonising. And in, you know, in counselling, I would often see, and my colleagues would see, people who come in and they could be there with us for quite a while. And it's usually rooted in fear, the loss of family, friends, social life, children, obviously the financial, the home, things like that. And a concern about their own families, grandparents.
So why do they then leave anyway?
Because at some point the thought of staying is far worse than the thought of leaving.
Mm.
So the scales tip, but it can take quite a while to get there. And don't be under any illusion that it's a quick decision. It's usually not.
Yeah. The you talk about loneliness and depression. Is that from both parties generally, or just the one, the wronged man or woman?
Yeah,
or?
There's a bit of a myth that the person who leaves is kind of gets away scot-free.
Yeah.
They don't. They too will face lonely times. They too will face depression. They may even be left with feelings of doubt, you know, as they go through the grieving part themselves, which would be very normal for them. And then left with that sense of, oh my God, if I made the right decision, if I'm feeling this, this does not mean that you've made the wrong decision. This just means you're grieving. And I suppose the person who's left then is just left with that sense of just complete devastation. And the hard part is, unless everybody else understands that this is just grief, and a very deep kind of grief, that in fact, if you don't really understand it, you can further isolate the person. And, you know, depression, which is a very natural part of grieving, it's a reaction to something that's quite depressing. Mm. You know, that the person can actually sink into clinical depression. So it's just being careful about that.
There is a kind of an almost an economic index linked scenario whereby some couples, from what we understand through contact from listeners, are yes. staying in relationships they are deeply unhappy to be in
yes.
because they can't afford the alternative.
Yeah, and that is like a prison sentence with no hope of release. I heard somebody describe it that way and I thought it was very...
That's bleak.
It just nailed it. It was bleak.
Yeah.
And there is a sense of my internal world, so the fact that I am separated, I am no longer a couple, is completely different to my everyday life, mm. which could be exactly the same. What do you do when you're staying in the same house with somebody who's now your ex? It's very confusing. And a couple, actually, if there's any shred of goodwill in the relationship, they'll really need it now in order to kind of negotiate, you know, how they do chores, how they parent.
Where they sleep.
Money, where they sleep.
You know, if you really can't stand somebody that much,
yeah.
and if it's mutual,
yeah.
you don't really want to be in the same room as them.
No, no.
So, and financially they can't afford to do anything about it, so what do they do?
Yeah, and that's the time where actually, I mean, you know, the goodwill, as I mentioned, is very, very important.
Yeah.
And we do see people in Relationships Ireland now who are, they know it. They know that this is the way it's going to be for them for the foreseeable future. There is no light on the horizon for them, and they need to just be able to manage it, and how best are they going to do it? And I suppose this is the bit where I'd sort of say, you know, your emotions are heightened anyway,
yeah.
so you need to be able to deal with those in order to sort of make very practical decisions. So important not to ignore the emotions.
Would you get people coming into you who are, you're married, a few couple of kids, they don't
yeah.
necessarily dislike each other, but they've grown out of love
yeah.
and are bored?
Yeah, Grant Thornton released research last year
yeah.
that would say that is the leading reason.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
They just grow apart.
Yeah.
Somehow the bit that brought them together is now...
Has
not
been
the
and gone.
Yeah, it won't keep them together now. Their needs change as relationships.
So what do you say
evolve.
To those people?
Well, you need to have a look and just check, is it really gone? Sometimes there's
True.
Been misunderstandings.
Yeah.
There has been conflict that hasn't been resolved. It's just gone underground and they defer to something, but they just don't resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have had the skills to do it. So I suppose when they come into us, they're sort of looking for, they may be we're their last hope. And in fact, you know, just to say here about couple counselling is an opportunity for you to have the relationship you want. It's not always about doom and gloom. And couples who come into us sooner rather than later have a better chance of actually addressing what's going on without it doing undue harm to the relationship.
But there must be sympathy for the couple who get rushed to get married almost
yeah.
because they think, oh, it's great, I'm going to get married, or I'm hitting a certain age and I get
That's
married because
it.
I'll tolerate what I have.
Yeah.
It's the best I'm going to do. You know, and desperately unromantic for a moment, but just the scenario.
Mm.
And then they do get married and they have the couple of kids or the three or four kids and just go, oh, do you know what, that was, oh, I can't, I wish I hadn't done that.
Mm.
I mean, that must be terrible for all parties, children,
yeah,
parents.
Yeah, and there is something psychologically in our 40s and 50s, there's an urgency, if you like, that we're not old, but we're not young either. And there's something, it's about being happy. If you're not happy in your relationship, you know, you may really question, is that where you want to be?
What about the younger? You write about younger women. What do you mean? What are you saying about
the
them?
The concerns, the issues that face younger women and older women are kind of different. So if you think about it really in terms of their evolution, if you like, older women will have reared their children and usually have a very good social network. So if they're faced with something like separation, even though it's very devastating, they'll often do better than men following separation. And research would bear this out. Younger women, their concerns tend to be around, you know, focus around their children, but also being able to, they worry about things like another relationship.
This is if they separate.
Yeah.
Or what if
yeah.
they mightn't have children either. So
they mightn't have children.
Well,
and then the worry might be, oh my God, am I going to be able to find somebody to have children with? You know, they may have kind of invested an awful lot in this relationship and it hasn't worked out. So they're just left with this anxiety.
Men who then separate, how are they on? You've talked about women and feeling rejected or empowered, but no one's coming out of this particularly happily because it's just such an unhappy event.
No.
But men?
Men and women, although they will have very similar feelings, men often behave quite differently. And I suppose the feeling side of things seems to be more of a women's domain. Psychologically, biologically, it's not going in his it's not going in his favour. And, you know, I suppose when I see men coming in looking for help, you know, they've tried to resolve it themselves. Some men don't even have a language for their feelings. They don't know what the feeling is. They can't express it, yet they're acting out. So they may be drinking more, having a lot of casual sex, maybe not having any at all, wondering where their libido has gone. Very distressed. Their lives are falling apart. They're falling apart. So really it's just about putting it into context. And I just wrote a chapter specifically for men, but also to help women understand what it is like for men and how different it can be.
It's good for women to try and get into the mind of the man as well, I suppose. Yeah. And that's why that chapter, as you say, would be very useful for them, as much as it would be for the man to read the woman's chapter. Isn't
that's
that right?
It. Yeah, because it, I mean, just because you're a woman, you won't necessarily be feeling those feelings. You might be feeling and behaving in a way that's similar to the way a man, what I've written about men. So, but it'll also inform you about where your partner might be coming from, your ex-partner.
A woman has texted in to say, I am that person who's staying in a marriage just because I can't leave for financial reasons. I have children and they would never forgive me. I'm married for more than 20 years and have been miserable for most of that time.
Gosh.
I feel I'll be in this marriage until I die. What a waste of my life and of his.
Yeah. Sounds like there's huge regret there.
Huge regret.
And yet she stayed for her children. Perhaps the belief
miserable.
That you stay there.
Miserable.
You when you say I do, that means for life.
Yeah. What can you say to her? I mean, what can you say to her?
What can you say?
Does she go to...
Yeah. I'd be very curious to know what makes her really want to stay and, you know, what fears would she have about leaving?
Oh, it's just the kids, I'd say, the emotional wrench of it, I suppose.
But kids grow up.
Well, they do, but the fact that she says she's having a miserable life and so is he, she's even cognizant of his misery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure they're not the only ones out there. It's great.
I'd encourage them to go and get a bit of professional help.
Yeah, I obviously that would make a lot of sense. Great to finally hear something covering relationship breakups. I'm interested to hear how to recover from my parents breaking up. Mm. I'm in my late 30s and I'm finding it very hard to deal with. I realise that it is their relationship, not mine, but it is so horrible to deal with. Please don't read out my name. It's all quite fresh right now. So that's the adult whose parents have just not long separated.
Yeah. You know, our parents' relationship is a very important relationship. We look to them to be stable, to be reliable, to be consistent. And the hard bit about it, I think when you're an adult, is the expectation you should be okay about it. Well, you're not. They're still your parents and you'll still grieve. And you may actually, you know, feel that pulled. And that's a really common one with children of separating parents. They feel they have to take sides. But you have a right to love both your parents. You have a right to spend time with both your parents. And actually, you know, not to be your parents' confidant.
Yeah.
As an adult child, you may often fall into that role. But to, you know, to deal with your own grief, it's very important. It's not just your parents who are separating. You're also going through something it's quite a significant loss.
So it might be worth you going to talk to somebody too if you believe in all that.
Yeah, and on a very kind of practical level, you know, children often are left with, well, who do we spend Christmas with?
Yeah.
Oh my God, who do we... Oh, we've got a communion coming up. What do we do now? And how can we... It's very awkward.
Yeah, well, Christmas and families in separated scenarios is like the Congo and the UN. And really, it is the blueberries have to come in. And sense prevails. People talk.
Correct. And you just kind of have to cross your fingers and hope there's enough goodwill there. Keep the children the focus if you do that.
Exactly.
You know, Christmas is only one day. Who says it has to be on the 25th?
Yeah, yes.
Who says that?
Share the love.
And plan. Plan is the most important thing. Plan in September.
An email says, I just wanted to quickly write in and tell you my situation. I split from my partner nearly 5 years ago. We have a child who's now seven. Mm-hmm. And my child and his father, they have a great relationship, although there is a geographical distance between them. My problem is that my ex is an incredibly difficult man in that his life management is chaotic. He is in financial trouble. He is aggressive. He still involves me in his problems no matter what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm always sucked into his mess. And after nearly 7 years of pure emotional hell, how will I become free of this?
Yeah.
That's tough. So she's in one part of the country, he's in the other.
Yeah, and she's caught up in his chaos.
In his chaos, even though they're not together, but the child clearly is the link between them.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, I suppose really that would be a good reason to actually go and seek a bit of professional help, because in fact maybe boundaries need to be agreed. You know, she's got a sense of perhaps, well, reading between the lines, of being let down. He's not consistent enough. But she is lucky on the other hand that he does have a good relationship with his dad.
Yes, well, that is helpful.
Yeah.
Some people really are stuck today. Please help. I'm 8 years married, only 8 years. Mm. And for the last 2 years, I'm lost in a loveless marriage. Mm. I go out once a week to get the food shop and nothing else. I try to talk to him, but even a fly in the room gets his attention over me. How can I exist again and let him see my pain? My heart aches every day.
Oh my goodness, it sounds like this lady's heartbroken.
But she's not, like, I'm telling you, Lisa, there's so many of these people writing into us today. There's a lot of people in.
Yeah.
Awful marriages, yeah. Relationships, or maybe they're not awful, maybe there is hope, but again,
she sounds very lonely.
She's seriously lonely. 2 days, she goes out once a week to buy food and goes home, yeah. Again. So yeah. There must be something.
That would be another case again, that say go and see a couple counsellor, somebody like, you know, that's reputable, and because, you know, there may be something in the way they're communicating with each other that is kind of causing more distance to the relationship rather than, you know, being a good, close, happy, healthy relationship. That lady sounds so lonely.
I know she needs it. And also maybe she's, the other thing, it's like when we were talking about finance and people in trouble, people are embarrassed, and people are embarrassed to talk about it. You mentioned that no one likes to say failed marriage. No one likes failed anything.
No.
And that's part of the problem, I suspect. I hear you talking about separation this morning. I would like to ask Lisa for some advice. My husband of 20 years recently upped and left. I have 3 children. The youngest is 11. He was having an affair. I didn't see it coming and I'm heartbroken. My children are so upset. I'm dreading Christmas and just can't motivate myself to do anything. Can any of your listeners help?
Yeah, she's grieving. It sounds like she's had the shock of it. She didn't see it coming. She's got 3 children. I assume if the youngest is 11, she's going to have adolescents as well.
Yeah.
Or young adults. So they're actually dealing with something too. And boys and girls in adolescence deal with things quite different. Children, they just deal with things a little bit differently. It sounds like this lady is quite lost, and she's in a lot of pain as well. And she could still be very shocked.
Text says, I'm separated almost 8 years, still distressed, very depressed. 27 years married, not brilliant, but I thought we loved each other. He just left to live down the road in a small town with a friend's nanny. 4 children grown up. I feel it would have been easier if he had died, and then I could have grieved and still had memories, whether real or perceived.
Yeah, and that is the difference. It's like she's just living that day in, day out.
7 years on, you know, but it is, that's
and
the
it
death
sounds
thing.
Actually like she's quite stuck. And again, that would be another, I'd say, you know, see if you can get a bit of help with that, because there may be something actually from earlier on in the in her life that's, you know, without going into the what it might be, there may be something, she's just stuck there. So
what about
get as much help as you can when you're going through this. There's loads of help available.
Well, that's it. What about couples who are in marriages that and they're not having any sex? I mean, this is I presume this must be of enormous interest to people, because it's one of the most basic needs and desires.
One could say I suppose the reality of it is your libido waxes and wanes, you know, various things happen in your life as you get older, it's stress, things like that. I think having children is a huge passion killer, because the amount of energy that children take up.
One libido, you know, couples mightn't necessarily have a matching.
And sometimes you might be having sex, you're not really sure if you want to have sex, and you know the other person really wants it, and if it always becomes about what they want and not what you want.
So you're into
power struggle. If you can't say no, if you feel that for some reason that's what you should do, you know, you're actually really not going to want it, yeah. Want it then. So, you know, it's a really, again, it's about the couple negotiating that. It's very normal for you not to want to have sex at times.
Yeah. People will be relieved to hear you say that, you know.
Yeah, but I think what's very alarming is that we've noticed anecdotally our sex therapists in Relationships Ireland would say that they have noticed in the last 2 years, and I've spoken about this before, lack of male libido, which is the big... Yeah. Big surprise.
And why is that? Or is there anything
just
to
stress, worry, yeah, yeah. Losing your job, how you feel about yourself as a man?
Yeah,
can often affect how you your desire. So
yeah, so that all tallies, isn't it? Interesting that, yeah. that it would yeah. Be linked to. If you, when you think of what people are going through at an economic level, that it then trickles down to all
that's
areas.
It.
It's not just
yeah.
the living room, the kitchen. It goes up to the bedroom and on it
yeah.
goes. I'm
yeah.
separated 2.5 years as a text, and my husband will not talk to me. And we have two children. He takes them for a day, a month. Good Lord. I knew on a week after I got married, I wasn't happy. Oh, good Lord. It took me 7 years to leave him. And now, 3 years later, I am happy. I'm broke, but you can't put a price on peace of mind. Mm. I'm getting help and I'm finding out who I am. And thanks for talking about it. Now, that's not a request for help, but that's a really useful text for people.
Yeah.
She got out. She,
yeah.
But she knew a week after she got married,
yes.
she shouldn't be there.
Yes. Do you know, I'm really
Amazing.
Glad that came in, and I'll
yeah.
tell you why. Because there, when you are going through it, there is some part of you worries it'll never come to an end. And I wrote that book because I felt really strongly about it,
yeah.
that there is life after separation. There is hope. You can actually go on and become happy again. And you can maybe become that person you never had a chance to be when
yeah.
you were in a relationship.
You can shine again. We attended counselling, says a text, 5 years ago. My husband was advised to take one day off per month mm-hmm. Of work, obviously, so that we can spend some time together. It's a great
yeah.
piece of advice. I'm still waiting. What do I do now?
Well, that must be very frustrating.
I think you confront him.
Yeah, well, you know something, yeah. maybe you confront, but you don't do it in a critical way.
Yeah.
You say something like, look, I really miss spending time with you. I really want you to be around. It's hard not to be responsive to that, rather than the, you're never here,
You
I'm
told
always.
Me, you promised. Yeah, yeah, that's
Men
okay.
Men don't respond very well to that.
No, no. Do you know
they
what?
Just
they
disappear.
Don't.
They disappear.
They disappear into their own heads.
Yeah.
My kids would never have forgiven me, says a text, if I stayed in my relationship that involved verbal and emotional abuse. I'm happier now, and the children are less stressed.
Mm.
So that's if in doubt, get out in that one.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody's giving you that sort of lip, you shouldn't be. No woman should have to put up with that.
No.
So that's a good note on which to end. Lisa, we leave it there. Your book, congratulations.
Thank you.
When a Relationship Ends, Surviving the Emotional Roller Coaster of Separation. This is a book for men and women who are essentially in the horrors. And our thoughts are with you all this morning. It's not
yeah.
an easy road.
And Ryan, there are some tips and things available on relationshipsireland.com just to say that. And you can give us a ring, come in and see us without committing yourself to, you know, going to counselling. Just come in if you want to talk over.
Do you have a website?
Relationshipsireland.com.
That might be of use to some people.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lisa, lovely to see you again. Thanks for coming
Ryan.
To see us this morning.
Thanks.
And thanks indeed for all the texts, by the way, to 51552 and emails to tubs@rte.ie.